Welcome to the M3 podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
You guys, I'm so excited for our next guest on this interview episode. He goes by Austin Tarzan, and he is the creator of Organic Jaguar, which is a very intentional, environmentally aware product baseline. He is all about being active in the community, focusing on the benefits of people over profit, and I'm such a fan of how he lives life consciously. He's a former Marine turned entrepreneur, and this story, we get deep into spirituality, life in general, when it comes to how we root ourselves into staying true to our most inner self, and doing the inner work to be that influence onto others, living life on purpose and full of love. So let's get into this next episode.
Welcome back, M3 family. It's me, your host, Mermaid Brie, and I have Austin in the house.
Aloha.
Okay, I got connected to you through Lauren, and something that I really love about her, shout out to Lauren, by the way, something I really love about her, she's very intentional, and she has friends who are also intentional with their actions, their thoughts, how they respect the world. It's a reflection of her, and I think that I see is also something as a reflection of you. I admire that very much, and I'm curious to know if that's something that was developed always in you growing up. What brought you to be intentional with your actions, your thoughts?
That's a great question. Love Lauren, first off. Yeah.
Yeah, Lauren.
Yeah. For me, it's just been awareness, starting with awareness, and I've not always had this intention in me, by far not. I was in the Marine Corps and a lot of unconscious processing through that. And them telling me what to do, me not knowing my sense of self, who I was, didn't have what I would consider a consciousness. When I like see like certain people in this world, I'm like, oh, they're pretty damn conscious. Oh, they're unconscious. Like, it's kind of crappy that I put labels, but it kind of is what it is. And through a lot of experiences, and one story I'd like to get into, but later on, it is just, you know, me realizing like, if I don't start to change things in this world, then I feel like humanity, we're not really going to like a great place. So I was like, okay, what in myself can I change? Like, how can I be more aware of what I'm putting in and on my body? And that's kind of how I originally started to like form consciousness, if you will, or like just being more aware. And then I was in a beautiful conscious relationship, and she was way more in the inner work than I was. I didn't even know what therapy was. She told me, like, she suggested it early on in the relationship. I was like, oh, I don't need to go to therapy. What are you talking about? And of course, usually the people that say that are the ones that need it. But
I don't think anybody wants to go. People should, and I hate to say the word should, but definitely could benefit from it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, great wording on that. And we broke up because of my ill actions, and she pretty much was like, hey, this is, you know, this is where this stems from. You could look at this in your childhood, and it kind of relates to you now, blah, blah, blah. And really just kind of led me to like the path of therapy. And I decided to actually look myself in the mirror for the first time in, back then, 27 years. And I delved head over heels into therapy and just inner work and like really like, okay, I really don't want to repeat these patterns again. How can I best serve myself? And like went through a few therapists and finally found the one that I have now. And she's amazing. But yeah, just the willingness to do the work and be more intentional with what I'm doing, what I'm putting in and on my body, who I surround myself with, how I self-reflect, being more aware of all these things. And honestly, it's been a 180 in my life of how I've thought about myself, how I think about the world and stuff like that. So I'm very grateful of therapy and really grateful of my willingness to do the work. And yeah, to answer your question in short form, I've not been like this. Only the past few years have I been really like conscious and intentional of who I am and everything that involves that. So, yeah. Thank you for that question. I love deep ask questions. I love
it. Oh, there's so many.
Yes. Love it.
So you have a company called Organic Jaguar.
Rawr.
Ooh. this company, I feel like, was derived from this intentional mindset. Mm-hmm. And you created it when?
I created it in November of last year.
Oh, brand new.
Yeah, really new. And I really fully went and fully into it like 5 months ago. I was still doing like a civil engineering job, and I got laid off in like June and went fully into Organic Jaguar. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed because I feel like this is natural for you.
Mm. Yeah, it's taken a lot of work for sure to get here.
What are all of your products, services, everything?
Well, let me start with why.
Oh,
why?
Yeah, please. Okay. Yeah. So why Jaguar, by the way?
Yeah, well, why Jaguar? It's my spirit animal. Ooh. I feel very connected to the animal of a Jaguar. So yeah. And then I couldn't find like the right URL for a while. And I was trying like happy and healthy and like very basic stuff. And just like it kind of like popped up on me, like Organic Jaguar. I don't know why, I just went for it. And just, yeah. And it's very unique and different. I was like, okay. The URL worked. I was like, okay,
yeah.
Bet. So start with why. That's like Simon Sinek is like a very good business inspiration to me, because this is kind of what he's about, which is Apple is just a computer company, but they know why they're doing things. Like, a lot of companies know how they do it. They might make a good hydro flask. Sure, it's like made of metal, all that good stuff. But why do they do it? Is it to give better water sources to other people? There has to be like a deeper reason or why, like, we do things. And a lot of companies don't. They just produce products to produce and make profit. If I have a deeper reasoning, it gives me more motivation to do it, and also I'm going to do this no matter what, like, even if I'm making no money or not. So my deeper why is to make products that are extremely clean, one,
mm-hmm.
and have people and planet in mind way above profit.
Mm-hmm.
Profit will come, but having people first, planet second, and then profit comes after. So for me, when I go to the store, Target, Sprouts, any store, you look at 95% of the shelf space, it's filled with bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's filled with products that have horrible ingredients. I can't read them. There's numbers in the ingredients. What is going on? Like, what? What are we doing? What are we putting on our skin? What are we putting on our body and our mouths? Like, look at processed food. Like, there's bio-engineered ingredients in a lot of processed food. It's just mind-blowing. So for me, it was, okay, how can I provide value to others and make better shit than what's out there? Literally, like, that's it. That's, like, the basis of it. And so what I'm doing is not groundbreaking by any means. Like, grass-fed beef tallow and olive oil lotion and stuff has been around, but it's because 99% of the companies have BS. So for me, it makes me look a little bit better, because I come out with a product that, hey, this is actually good for you. This is actually something you should be using on yourself every day, versus like all the other companies are just flashy packaging, whatever. They don't want you to see the ingredient label. They don't want you to know what's in it. So yeah, for me, starting with why is the biggest reason to offer others better products that make you happy and healthy.
I'm just thinking of the book. That's the actual title of the book, Start With Why.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about Dell computers and Apple. And so when you have, I love this book. I read it on the way to Hawaii.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love that. That's so funny. Wow.
So when you have Dell, you know Dell as Dell computers, but when you have Apple, Apple can be anything.
Mm.
It could be a watch, it could be a phone, it could be a computer, it could be a TV, it could be anything, headphones, because they understand the service and the product as to how it's serving the customer.
Mm.
And they wanted it to be relatable. They wanted it to be understandable. That's why they wanted that hello or hi at the beginning of theirs.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's cool. I never thought about that. And yeah, Simon Sinek brings up, like, why would you buy a watch or a flat screen TV from Dell?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never think about it. But from Apple, it's like instant, like, oh, I know what I'm going to get with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. It's wild. So, yeah. And
oh, yeah, go,
bring up one more business thing, like, inspiration for me is not only the why, but, like, as human beings, how we elevate each other is,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we keep wanting upping each other,
mm-hmm.
whether that's like products or services or whatever. And nowadays, I feel like with capitalism, I think capitalism is good to a point, but nowadays it's like, oh, how do I make products cheaper? How do I string out and stretch out our profit margins, because we're big corporate companies and we need to feed thousands of employees? How do we stretch it out and make products shittier and keep on going lower and lower and lower? But I feel like as humanity, how we get better is we keep one-upping each other. Okay, I make a better lotion, and then tomorrow you make a better one. And then I'm like, oh crap, I need to make a better one. How do I do this? Research, blah, blah, blah. Boom, I make a better one. We just keep on going up. That's how we get to warp level 9000. That's how humanity, you know, gains more consciousness. I feel like nowadays that's a race to the bottom. And I'm not about that life.
I'm thinking it depends on who defines better.
Mm. Yeah, true. True, yeah. Quality over quantity.
Because I'm thinking what you have right now is top of the line. Are there other probably amazing products out there with people with similar intentions? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's not about, in my opinion, even what that book was saying was, it's not about being the best where the ego needs to take over and say, I'm the number one. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, we're in this together. How can we make our part in this to serve the customer?
Mm. Love that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not competing with those people. I'm competing with the big corporations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The big bad guys. Yeah.
The big bad guys.
Yeah. I love all the other people that are making their stuff just like I am. I
yes.
freaking love it.
Yes.
Love it. I don't try to compete with any of them. I'm competing with the big people on the shelves. You know?
So what are the products and services?
So my most popular is by far the shower filter.
Yeah.
Now there's other shower filters out there, but I like to make things the best that I can
yeah.
with what I have. And so there's like the Jolie shower filter, the Aqua Bliss on Amazon, blah, blah, blah. I took those and I did research on that lab test and I figured out, okay, if I add more KDF55, activated charcoal, calcium sulfite, tourmaline, these are filtering, natural filtering elements that make our tap water more pure. So I'm very proud to say that this shower filter is legit right now the best on the market. And I'll continue to one up myself until I can't anymore. But shower filter, big thing, because unfortunately our tap water is filled with, it's just pretty much recycled sewage water. Like, we are not getting our tap water from beautiful mountains. It's not coming down a beautiful stream and it's flowing in a pipe and then going into your shower.
Definitely not in San Diego.
No, and unfortunately probably 99% of America. And so they have to do things to our water to make it okay. So they have to disinfect it with things like chlorine. Chlorine is really harsh on our skin microbiome and our hair. And so that's why a shower filter is imperative, because it's stripping all the chlorine out, all the contaminants, heavy metals, all that kind of stuff. Now, it's not like you could drink out of it. I literally have people messaging me like, oh, I use your filter for drinking. Wouldn't recommend. But it's the best thing we have that's like a pass-through filter. So I love that it's able to, it's really helping my skin and hair, actually, honestly, and everybody that uses it. Shower filter, sick. Okay, now I'm really just trying to take over the bathroom right now. Like,
ooh.
I have organic bamboo toothbrushes, tongue scraper, toothbrush holders. I have organic natural deodorant coming out, sunscreen, hopefully body wash soon, shampoo soon. So just all skincare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the body lotion I'm super, super stoked on. It's like amazing. So Europeans have been using olive oil-based lotions for decades. And it's literally, I just kind of like took what they did, added a couple things that I liked, and then voila. And so I'm not doing anything groundbreaking, but it's just extremely high quality ingredients. And like, that's what I love. I just want the best of best for myself, for you, for that person that's walking their dog. You know, like, if you care about your body, you're going to pay a couple bucks more to have better ingredients. It's just kind of what it is. So yeah. That's all the, oh, well, actually, what I got currently on, and these organic cotton boxers, which is super sick, going to be making ladies' underwear, hopefully December or January, and then organic cotton shirts will be coming out next week, so I'm excited. I'm just, yeah, just trying to make products that I like to use and wear. That's it. So.
Why do you care so much?
Because I hate feeling like shit. Like, I don't like feeling when I eat like shit or when I put on other stuff that doesn't make me feel well. I'm so in tune with my body now that I feel it. So one thing that scares me is that one out of every two Americans are obese.
Mm.
Not overweight, obese, like big. That's not okay. Like, there's something in society, there's multiple things, but something in society that's unhealthy. Like, we're going like a straight path to unhealthy real freaking quick. And I don't want that. I don't want that for them. I want, like, the more happier and healthier are, the more we raise the consciousness of humanity,
mm-hmm.
the more that we can be independent from the government. The scariest thing for the government is a strong, independent woman or man, like, straight up, because they can't control them. So for me, I just want other people to be happy and healthy, because I want to dance with people. I want to smile with people. I want to experience what they're experiencing. I want them to experience what I'm experiencing. And it's hard to when your lens is so dirty, when you feel like crap, you haven't touched the freaking earth. You've been wearing shoes for the past 2 weeks. You know, it's like, it's for me, it's just, I want others to feel happy and healthy like I do. And I know I can still, I'm up here. I know I can go up here, but I feel like a lot of people are down here and I just want to pull them up because I've been there. So it's not a fun place to be.
This brings me to my favorite question I love to ask people, and I think there's a reason why I bring certain people on this show is because of spirituality.
Mm.
And that's why I ask, why do you care? Because then I wonder, what is spirituality to you?
Mm. That's a great question.
It's not about the self. It's about more than that, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. It's tough because I was raised in a heavy religion, a heavy Christianity household. Didn't like it at all. Like, pulled back from my dad. My parents got divorced when I was young. Moved in with my mom. My mom was the total opposite. She was atheist. So I got to see kind of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And going in the Marine Corps and, like, having to think about a higher power and then going through inner work and therapy, I become more spiritual. Now, I feel like that's, like, pretty broad definition, right?
Yeah.
But for me, it's like having like a higher sense of something being up there, whatever you want to call it. There's many names for it, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know exactly why we're here, but I think if we all help each other out, it makes the experience so much better. Do I know what happens after this? No. I would hope that there's something else. Maybe we're not in the human form. Maybe we come back in a human form. Maybe we come back as a jaguar. Maybe I'm up in the clouds looking down. I don't know. But I want to live right now in this experience the best that I can. And for me, like, doing the inner work, doing therapy, figuring out my generational trauma that's been passed down from my grandpa to dad to me, breaking those patterns. Someone asked me the other day, like, what do you want to do in life? Screw that. What does your soul want to do in life? Like, what is your soul, like, destined to do here? And, like, there's certain lessons that have come up that I haven't learned, and it repeats, and it's very funny how it repeats. And
consciousness.
Yeah, so I think those are like little things on the way that, like, you know, maybe like our soul's like on its last mission, and then you finally learn it, boom, you go on to like the next chapter. I don't know, but I'd like to think, and I have faith that there is something else more than this, but I really want to enjoy my time here while I have it. So, because it feels damn good to be human, most of the time. it's tough sometimes, damn, it's tough sometimes, I want to be real about that, but yeah. What about for you? I want
to
know.
Oh, I was about to share too, because that's crazy. I am Hispanic American, so Spanish is my first language. We grew up in a super Catholic household.
Mm.
It was all about shame and guilt and fear, and no other religion exists besides Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And even Christianity isn't good enough for Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
because who would pray on Jesus?
right, yeah.
But yeah, we pray on all these saints, and, you know, so...
So funny.
That's on my mom's side, yet I see my mom as pure love. Like, she is the definition of compassion and love, and
mm-hmm.
you go into my household, and everyone just loves you, wants to feed you, hug you, and that's...
I love that.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love my Hispanic family. My father is a retired, well, I hope he retires as a cop, but he is a former Force Recon.
Wow.
And my brother is a Navy SEAL, but he's an SQT
wow.
right now. So there's a little bit of crazy in my family.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's also that same fear, pride on misery.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just like, I have the colder, wetter clothes and, you know, that didn't get as much sleep type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I see that pride of life isn't hard enough, let's make it harder for you.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ouch.
And so I kept thinking for the longest time, I'm just here to learn lessons. I deserve this, what I'm getting, or certain things. And
mm-hmm.
I, again, thankful that I have such an opposite, that I had that balance of love and strength, where I
mm-hmm.
was reminded that life is meant to be enjoyed, not just lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
We get lessons maybe based off of learning them the hard way through
yeah.
our consequences, but we can learn lessons by playing and having fun
mm-hmm.
too.
I
and spirituality to me, I believe in love. like, I know it's like Ziggy Marley's like love is my religion type of thing, but I don't even think of the word religion. It's just love is my practice, my daily in and out practice of who I am embodying through habits, through moral moments, through choices that I make. And it's, you have a decision that you get to make, and it starts here and it's reflected into this world. And I feel like fear is part of the ego. Pride, which is a military thing, is part of the ego. When it's, and I just mentioned this last night, I was speaking at an event, and I said, if you're out there and you're looking at the trash on the street and you're judging homelessness, like, that's not unconditional love. That's still the ego playing a role. No, and I think of that as, like, we look at the world, whatever we want to define as good or bad, sure. But if we look at the world for what it is, just is, and appreciate it for all that life has to show us and reflect in our own thoughts, that to me is unconditional love.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's a really cool perspective.
Thank you.
When did you start to get into spirituality? When did you have this, like, shift to where it's like, it doesn't have to be so fucking hard? Like, when did that happen?
Recent, and I mean, like, how deep could we go in this one? Because I do get vulnerable in these episodes.
Oh, I'm all about vulnerability. Like, you want me to talk some shit about myself? I will. That's for damn sure. I'm not perfect by any means. Shit, no, nothing else.
All right. Because I even made a choice to be like, you know what? I was living in so much shame. Why not talk about this more? It should be something that I don't hold back or be like, oh, maybe people can't or don't want to hear this, or I shouldn't. Like, it, I felt like it was a part of me that I didn't want to share. Like, or maybe even I thought people can't handle it. But again, the world is what it is, and there's a lot of other traumatic things that people face. Again, growing up in a Catholic home, it was forced.
That's probably why you feel a little shame. Well, I can only speak from my own experience, but for Christianity, like, you have to be a perfect little Bible boy, you know, and, like, it can't speak about hardships or whatever. So I get the shaming and all that.
Virgin till marriage, no cussing, all the things, okay? Yeah. And thankfully, my mom's a black sheep of our family. She's actually grateful for that, too, where she's my dad. And I think that's why I am so careful, if that's the word to say, of who I choose to spend my time with, because my mom is on her fourth marriage and my dad is on his third. And as a child of divorce, of four divorces, I do not want to put anybody else through what I went through. Like, children involved, I've always just said, maybe I'll just adopt a kid, and, like, to me and the kid will take over the world type of thing.
Honestly.
And I know that growing up in that household, I had the opportunity to build it out on my own. I try to go back to church and mass and all these things where I was experiencing it for myself. But then it went into a pride of, like, the exterior world, materialistic things, my body, all of that. And this is a recent thing for me too, is we are unshedding. Shedding in itself comes in layers. And I was horribly sexually assaulted by multiple men at the same time.
Wow.
This happened in 2020. I went through a court case that, like, I'm okay with talking about now that it's all finished. And it's probably one of the reasons why Lauren and I bonded so quickly, was I needed that friend to just be conscious with me of, like, what the fuck just actually happened. And
I'm so sorry.
And, you know, and it's not to be, like, I get that. Totally get that. Shit happens. There's pain in this world, and I am recognizing how much of it we get to decide. Their power is, you know, given or taken based off of our suffering. So it's like, the more I suffer, the more power they get. And it becomes force for me. And with that, I'm thinking of why not give it back to them? Why not give the suffering back to them? It's not something where it has to be forgiven or not, because they probably don't even think they did anything wrong. So what's there to forgive? What's that? Life is what it is. I experienced this, and it helped me shed the way I thought I was helping people in this world to a deeper level. That I'm not just helping people through health and fitness or lifestyle or competitive coaching, bikini competitions, left or right, because I want people to look great. I want them to feel Mm. And that's all it is. Just feel. Whether it is great or sad or all the things, just want them to feel.
Yeah.
At a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And you just understand the world when you go through something like that. Your trust levels. Mm-hmm. I actually have just been recently doing acro yoga, which I started doing from yoga teacher training, because that to me is a trust exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's really, really deep and vulnerable. I appreciate that.
What's up, friend? I know.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm here for it, for real. This is like, this is how we raise each other, you know, is talking about this deep shit. It's not easy. Everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people just unconsciously go through life and, oh, it's okay, suppress, suppress. Don't feel, you know.
Or like even thinking, you know, men are horrible. Like I had such a tainted perspective. Mm-hmm. And that distortion doesn't apply to everyone's reality. And I realize that there are amazing men in this world. And so intentionally having people like you on this show shows me that there are great people in this world.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I definitely haven't always been this way. You know, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to hear and see the way I am now. So it's taken a lot of growth for sure, but... Yeah, I appreciate you expressing that, honestly.
Thank you.
I'm all about deep shit. So whenever something comes up, I'll speak on my side. So.
Well, let's talk about the Marine Corps again real quick, because I understand that as a child growing up, that's how I was raised. Very strict, very disciplined. Mm. Also, again, Catholic family, very strict, very disciplined.
Yeah.
Always grounded for no reason, by the way. My parents just didn't want to let me out.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And then when I was 18, I turned wild and was
like, Of course. Yeah. What else are you going to do? Gotta let yourself out of the box that they put you on. Yeah.
So did you turn wild too? Are you joining the Marine Corps?
Yeah. Not too much. I mean, well, I always, as like a little kid, yeah, my gosh, being in Catholic and military, god dang, that's like, that's extreme, like shelter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I only dealt with the Christianity, so I only got,
just that.
Yeah, just that, you know. Not to, you know, devalidate myself, but, so I always knew I wanted to go in the military as a young kid. Like, the only person in my family that was in the military was my grandpa. He was a Green Beret, like, 101st Airborne in Vietnam. Like, he's seen some insane shit. I would have, like, at Christmas time, I would have his camo on, and I'd have, like, a rubber band gun and stuff, like,
is it like a ghillie suit?
No, not that intense, but like this camo, like just regular camouflage, BDUs as they would call it, battle dress uniform. And I just always wanted to serve my country, always like guns, and always like war, like those three things. So of course I wanted to join the military.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was 17, I went to, because I thought I was going to go to the Coast Guard. My parents love that because, oh, you're not going to get deployed, this and that. When I was 17, I went to my buddy's recruiting station, and they were having, like, a workout to, like, get you ready for boot camp. Because of all, like, the pulleys is what they call it. People that already signed the contract waiting to ship out to boot camp, whether they're in high school still or just got out. I went to one of those workouts. I was like, yep, I'm going to be in the Marine Corps. Like, I want to join the Marines. It was the best of the best. Like, I felt the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the holding everyone to a higher standard. Like, that's what I was about. So... pissed off my parents big time. My mom was crying for weeks. Yeah, and joined when I was 17. And did my 4-year contract. I was on the East Coast the whole time. And, you know, thankfully I didn't get deployed. Now, that's kind of tough for me to, even now, today, tough for me to say, because a lot of Marines, especially, because a Marine, you're like a grunt, you're a rifleman. Not everyone. I was in the air wing, so I was on helicopters. I was flying around helicopters. Super cool. But not being deployed as a Marine is like, oh, you didn't do shit. You know, like, oh, you didn't like see anything type of deal.
Misery.
yeah, exactly. So it's just funny. It's just that validation, right? But I still, like, I'm still so grateful for my experiences and what I learned and all that. And I'd 100% do it again if I had to in another life. Like, it turned me into a boy to a man real fucking quick.
Yeah.
Like, real quick. Now... it's funny because I did an Instagram post about this today. I had to unlearn a lot of stuff too. Like, they taught me, which I totally get it, that there's bullets flying over your head. You don't want to think about your feelings, your emotions, this and that. You want to think about the Marine next to you and how you're all going to get out alive and how you're going to keep on going with the mission. Now, when you get out in the civilian world, you repress everything. You either use alcohol or you just swallow it down and just no emotions. No, you don't even know like what emotions are. Just stone cold. Yeah, and that's and it took me a harsh breakup to get into therapy and do, you know, a lot of therapy to realize, oh wow, that was not helpful for me at all. And like, you know, still, you don't even have to join the military. Like, men in society, I think, have been geared toward thinking like, oh, if you're a big bad macho, you're fucking strong and big, and you don't show any emotions, you're a fucking macho man. And like, that's really not at all. Like, there's a time and place to be stone cold hearted. Maybe if someone's fucking breaking in, you gotta kill them or whatever. But can't do that. Can't say that in California. And but you to have good relationships, intimate or friendships or whatever, you have to be able to express what you're feeling in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And so I've had to unlearn a lot of things from the Marine Corps. Now,
like what?
Like repressing my feelings, like suppressing them,
yeah.
Like using weed to, oh, something went wrong, let me just smoke myself till I can't fucking feel it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or how to be open and vulnerable. The word vulnerable, I had no idea what the fuck that meant. Like, literally, I had no idea what that word meant. So it's just so, so funny. And now I'm like an open book, like nothing, I'll share whatever, honestly, because
mm-hmm.
it's just like, I have nothing to hide. Whereas before I did, I wore a mask. I would have acted however I felt you wanted me to act.
Mm.
I would wear a
chameleon.
Yes, exactly. So I've had to unlearn a lot of these things. But I'm so grateful for my military experience, big time, because discipline, big time, like attention to detail, getting shit done, mind over matter, like all these things have like translated big time in my life today. So really grateful for it. But there's also a darker side that has become a lot lighter now because of inner work. Yeah, that I'm very grateful for.
I love that you keep saying that because I'm rereading that book right now.
What book?
The Inner Work.
Oh, okay. So okay.
You definitely need to read it. So
okay.
Amazing.
Who's it by?
It's called The Yoga Couple, Matt and Ash.
Oh, okay.
So it's all about consciousness.
Love it.
And that you just read. Just read the book, please.
Okay, cool. I've read the book How to Do the Work by
yes.
Dr. Nicole LaPerla, the holistic psychologist. Super rad. That's like what first got me like going. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so military, you got out and mm-hmm. you went into civilian world. Still thinking with a military mindset.
Mm-hmm. Which is tough. It's just having no like purpose or mission anymore. Like, what am I? And I feel really bad for people who've been in for like 20 plus years or, you know, Vietnam War, and then they get out and it's like everyone fucking hates them. Like, at least for me, you know, I had like friends and stuff like that I can lean on. But I had no greater purpose. I had, you know, no mission anymore to accomplish. It just wasn't there. So that was really tough. And yeah, I was kind of just unconsciously going through the world. I'd use my GI Bill to go to school for kinesiology,
mm-hmm.
which was great, but I just used it kind of to kill time. Like, yes, I learned some things, but I used it to basically, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know what's on my palate. I don't know what I really like. I was told what I like for 4 years, you know. I was told what I was going to do the next day, how I was going to dress, how I was going to act, where I was going to show up, what was my haircut, this shape, blah, 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 blah. All these things. So, like, it's so crazy that, you know, I had no sense of identity. I had no sense of what Austin liked. What was my passions? What was my purpose? I had no fucking idea.
You had a conformed identity.
Very much, yeah. And so it took me a long time to learn that. So, yeah, it's... And then ultimately, like, I always knew I liked nature. So I'd always go back to that. And, like, when I got in the military, I moved to Northern California, the Bay Area, and I just started kind of, like, adventuring around, like, nature. And that was super cool. It really brought me, like, grounding, brought me to home, if you will. But I still had a lot of trauma inside of me that was unprocessed. But nature really, like, grounded me big time. So I knew I liked that. But, yeah, did many jobs. I bartended many times just because, like, in school it was easy for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go to school during the day, bartend at night. Never been into drinking, thankfully. Like, I'll have, like, a drink here and there and stuff, but I was never the type, and I know so many people, bartender, servers alike, the industry, you make your money on one side of the bar, and then 2 hours later you go to the other side of the bar and spend it all. on drinks or whatever the hell. And I thankfully was never into that. But yeah, bartending, obviously I knew that was not going to serve my higher purpose. It didn't give me, oh, I can't wait to go to work today type of deal. And I have not found that until Organic Jaguar, until like I found my why of like, oh, I want to help people get happier and healthier, mentally, physically, spiritually. How can I do that? Well, I can add free value on social media. I can make products that have better or the best ingredients out. And then I can just be vulnerable and open with anybody and everybody I meet. And hopefully they'll feel different or value that I gave them.
Your page is very educational.
Thank you.
That's awesome. It's like you know you're going to your page to learn something.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, trying to provide free value. And it's just like, it's literally this. It's like, a year ago, I had no fucking idea that blue lights or tap water or this and that was bad for me. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just literally, okay, how do I make this a 30-second video and reflip it and teach it to somebody? That's it. Most of the stuff I post on page, I had no idea about years ago. Literally. So it's like, it's fun. I like it. I enjoy it. It's tough to, I got 3 minutes of what I want to say. How do I funnel it down in that catchy 20 seconds? It's hard. So, yeah.
Backtracking. Same as you. I went to school and bartended at the same time as well. Served, worked, gyms, all of it. I worked like 3 jobs while going to school. And thankfully, like you, I think, a little bit of relationship trauma, I guess, would be too, is I believed I dated somebody who was an alcoholic and was in a physically abusive relationship. Patterns, right? The patterns repeat themselves. So the person that I was with, I had just split up with. 2 weeks later, I was hit by a drunk driver on the 5 freeway. My car flipped twice and had 5 subluxation, punctured lung, was in the hospital for a week. And I was 22. And at that point, I actually stopped drinking for a full year just to show people that you don't have to drink alcohol, that there's other lives that you can, you know, realities that you can experience in your lives. And so these little levels of trauma awareness, I would almost say, and trauma doesn't have to be a bad thing. I've also realized that it's just an emotionally heightened experience that your body tends to remember later on. And as you're saying that as well, is like there's different forms of sabotage, so like physically abusive relationship, and I've just in like little details of it is like I've had 2 black eyes, a broken hand, a busted jaw, like, and you go into that and you realize maybe that's what I deserve. So then I went into self-harming and cutting and physically punching and beating myself, and like I remember I like attacked my skin and face like crazy. And have just recently, like within probably June of this year, I made it a birthday promise to myself that I said, you know what, I'm going to change all my water, even though I look at it and I still clean that plastic tube inside there every day and was like, I need to get rid of this plastic tube. Little things that I'm like, the awareness rises, right?
Yeah.
So and it's like I changed all to spring water. I stopped, like consciously stopped hurting myself. And that's like something as of recent as well. Not to the point of like cutting or other things, but like that's something I did for years. And it was something where I also hid it from people. I remember my mom, it was Christmas, like she saw a black eye on me when I got out of the shower, and I was trying to hide those things from her shame, right? And you get to those levels of awareness of like the things you didn't know about, all of a sudden it changes everything in your reality from 6 months ago, a year ago, years ago.
Hey M3 family, check this out. Whether you're a fitness enthusiast or someone looking to take that first step towards a healthier you, First Form's got you covered. Their high quality supplements are designed to help you perform at your very best, from premium protein powders, complete micronutrient packs, and cutting edge pre-workout formulas that will kickstart your workouts. First Form is all about getting real people, real results, and I'm one of them. I've been using First Form supplements consistently for over 2 years now, and the difference in my overall health is incredible. I've been hitting new personal bests in the gym, getting better quality sleep, and feeling completely energized throughout my entire workday. What sets First Form apart is their commitment to quality and education. They provide the best nutrient-dense ingredients, plus their products are backed by rigorous testing and research. And guess what? They've got a special offer just for M3 listeners. Click the link in the show notes to explore the full range of supplements and receive free shipping on your next order. So don't wait. Take the first step towards a healthier, happier you with First Form, because I know your goals are within reach and I'm here to help you crush them. Thank you, First Form, for supporting our show, and thank you all for listening. Now let's get back to our podcast.
You scared me too in that one.
I thought I felt like a sweater or something. I wasn't. Sorry, keep going. I didn't want to mess up your beautiful share.
Don't ever, no worries. Laughing. We're adding joy to the moment.
Yes, yes, heck yeah. I'm really, really proud of you, because that's like, that's a lot. You've been through a lot. That's not fucking easy. That's gotta be so tough.
There's still so much life to live.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And like, you know, oh God. Like, us stuck in our shadows, or me, like the person that me stuck in my shadows, isn't helping anyone. Mm-hmm. It's not helping me, it's not helping you, you know? So it's like, the more we do this work to realize, like, you know, we can be the best version of ourselves. Like, a lot of people, I feel like, don't think that they can. They just are in, like, a cycle, you know? And you doing this work is so fucking cool. Like, I love that. I love to hear that. Thank I don't you. Want to interrupt.
No, going. But what I do want to ask is, there was a story you were going to bring up and you said you were going to touch on it later. Mm. What is that story?
Okay. So I was in Lake Tahoe with my best friend George from Florida, and we went on a three-day.
There was a spider. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. That's so funny. Wow. That's so crazy. Do you want me to kill it or save it or what?
I don't mind. I don't know. I don't want it.
It's small as fuck. You don't want it?
No.
Well, all right. I'm going to just wash my hands real quick, okay? All right.
I can edit this out of this
video.
No,
keep it. I love it. We're about that life.
I don't know. Spiders, I'm like okay with them dying.
I love it. We're good. We're back.
Oh, my gosh. Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
okay. So the story.
Okay. So God, Lake Tahoe is so beautiful. I love it. It's one of my favorite places on earth, like Hawaii. And just did a 3-day backpacking trip with my best friend George, and like we went to like a little like filter lake off of Lake Tahoe. So we like hiked like a mile or two in the woods and like spent the night, a couple nights out there. Super intense, really, really hard, but awesome, super beautiful. Went on our hike back, we were like hiking to the main lake, Lake Tahoe, and took a little mushrooms. And when I was looking at the lake, just like multiple times, this was like a reoccurrence during like that hour, the next couple hours. Mm-hmm. And I was looking and I was like, if I were to have kids or grandkids one day, I don't think they're going to see the same view that I'm going to. And that scared the fuck out of me. Like, that scared me like big time. Like, just because I was like so conscious of what's happening with, you know, the earth and just a lot of things. I'm like, wow, like, if we don't get our shit together as humanity, like, I'm worried. I'm like, I don't know if, because I'm still kind of like indecisive on kids and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm worried that they wouldn't be able to see the same thing and experience the same thing. And for me, nature is like the coolest thing. Like, I love it. Like, adventuring, seeing nature, it's like so, like, when I feel like I'm an ant, like super small, that I love it. It's orgasmic. It's like so freaking cool. And I'm like, okay, if nature's like depleting, there's no more nature, what is there to live for? Like, sure, like, you know, I can have fun in a house, but like, it's way more cooler to do it outside or whatever. So that's when I started like be more aware of what I was doing. How was I buying stuff locally? Was it in plastic? Just the awareness started to compound. And that's kind of like where for me, like that started, which was, yeah, just like, not inner work consciousness, but awareness. Mm-hmm. Awareness of what I'm doing to myself and the earth alike. So.
And I've learned that awareness is, so we have a situation that happens, right? World's trying to corrupt us with chemicals and other products mm-hmm. that really tear apart our bodies mm-hmm. and souls, really.
Yeah.
And that awareness is our pause in our response to it.
Okay, say that again.
So, we have something that occurs, right? Mm-hmm. Just life is always constantly happening. There's things that are always happening. Mm-hmm. So, there's a situation that occurs. So, putting on sunscreen that's, I don't know, Just trying to think. Yes.
Okay. Oxybenzone. Yeah. Big brand sunscreen. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Big brand sunscreen.
Yeah.
Okay. Our awareness is that pause in the moment between that next response to the situation. So repeating it in a different way.
Okay. That's cool.
Yes.
Okay. 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 I see what you're saying. Wow. That's wild. Mm.
So you had an awareness of, all right, you know what? We need to make a shift here.
Mm. Yes. 1,000,000%. Yeah. That's, it's funny. I went pretty overboard on, I'll just put it, the earth stuff. Like being like, I would look down at people that like, you know, would throw something away that like was supposed to go in the recycling or this and that. Like, and it was bringing down my vibe, my energy.
Mm.
And so now I've become more like, okay, I'm going to do the best I can do. And I'm going to try and educate and positively inspire others, but I'm not going to put myself down when someone else does something wrong. Maybe I can educate them if there's a point in time for that. If not, I got to have my peace too, you know? So I've also had like a big level awareness and like also realizing like, hey, I can't do everything. I can't do it all. I can't change it all. So why don't I change what I do first and then let it be.
Love that, because that's exactly what I was just talking about with the trash and the homelessness where people are judging. And I said the unconditional love comes from recognizing the world is the way it is, but we have an opportunity to respond to it differently, doing our best, showing other people that they can do a better best.
That's cool. I love that.
So these I've seen this on your story too, these cotton underwear. Why does eco-friendly fabrics matter? Why do they matter?
They're up here, I guess. I'm like trying to look for them. Boom, there we go. There it is. Okay. So this is, you're talking about chemicals on this stuff. So glyphosate was used in the 80s as an antibiotic. Antibiotic means anti-life, killing life.
Mm.
It was originally used as an antibiotic, and then big food, big ag got a hold of it and was like, oh wow, we can kill off certain pests with this, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper than the pesticides we're using, blah, blah, blah. So they started spraying it on everything and anything they could, and it's called glyphosate, and it's in so, so much foods now, and it's wild. It's really, honestly, what I think is causing a lot of gluten intolerance is glyphosate. And we use a different type of gluten in America than we do in Europe.
It's not a fad diet. I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, yeah. And it's just destroying our gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was an antibiotic. It messes with your gut. So when we eat foods that were sprayed with glyphosate, it's essentially hurting our gut big time. And then we have a lot of autoimmune issues because of that. Well, same thing. Cotton, a lot of cotton is sprayed with glyphosate or pesticides to grow it.
Oh.
Now, that's not even the worst part. The petroleum, the synthetic underwear, like any type of like tight underwear or whatever is usually like polyester or satin or whatever, which is derived from petroleum, which is not the best to be having on your genitals, especially all day and heat, whatever. It's just not like, so organic cotton, this is specifically not sprayed with any pesticides. It's grown in Georgia. It's made in Florida. So I'm really grateful to be like, hey, this is, like, I've seen the farm. Like, this is pesticide-free. It's really freaking cool. So that's why. I don't want other... Okay, this is another scary fact. So you know that 1 in 2 Americans are obese?
Yes, crazy. Yes.
This is scarier to me. The rate of which our fertility is with sperm and eggs by 2045... supposedly on a rate to zero fertility, like zero sperm, zero eggs. I'm going to go off a little like tangent funny.
Yes.
I have a conspiracy theory, but I don't know if I believe it. I just heard it and I think it's hilarious. Aliens are future humans that are coming back to collect sperm and eggs.
Oh my gosh.
Just like, because like we like somehow got smarter or something and now we're coming back in time and collecting. I don't know. Super funny, but that scared me.
So why do you, okay, people believe time to be linear. Do you?
I don't even know what that means.
Ooh.
you know.
We just think about like aging and time is going forward. Do you think that time could go back? Do you think there's an invention of a time machine?
Oh wow.
Ooh.
Damn, okay, that's crazy. Wow. Oh wow.
Just a thought for another time.
Yeah, okay. That's funny. I don't know. That's so cool. I don't know.
Wait, get back to the science stuff though.
Okay.
I'm learning a lot right now.
Okay, cool.
Well.
Heck yeah. So yeah, I mean, wearing like a lot of these, like a lot of like workout clothes, this is another thing. And let me know if you want to go in business with this in the future.
Mm.
All girls wear Lululemons. What's that other brand? Aloe. They all, everyone wears them. Like, and I love them. Shout out to yoga pants. You know, men love them. But they're not the best for women, especially if they're not wearing underwear and that's riding up on their genitals all day. It's a synthetic. There's been medical studies to show that that decreases fertility by like 60%, which is a lot. So that's a big deal. Now, if you're wearing organic cotton underwear and you have that on, it's not like, it's not rubbing down there. It's okay. So, but making like an organic cotton yoga pants or something, that would be rad for sure. So that's another, that's just another way that we can create products that are better for us and the environment too. Because when we're buying into textiles that are reusable or sustainable, it's way better than something that's petroleum or literally like microplastic based, all that kind of stuff.
I am being 1,000% serious if there's even 1,000% to exist in this world.
Well, if time's linear, maybe.
So you, I would love to learn more about that because you're raising my awareness right now too.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the middle of creating workout clothing.
Okay.
And I have samples that are on their way.
Okay.
So they're coming from a vendor that my e-commerce consultant is familiar with.
Okay.
But to me, I am picking it because of the fabric feeling, like
mm-hmm.
what it feels like, comfortable, very,
mm-hmm.
it's like buttery soft, right?
Love it.
But I also want to make sure that it's coming from a source that is, in a sense, eco-friendly and also
mm-hmm.
favorable to our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's tough because it's going to cost 3 times more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my products are expensive, because it costs me 5 times more. And it's like my profit margins are like this. Big brand, whatever, is like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, it's just, it's tough. But you can find that supplier. You can. It's going to take a lot of research because they're few and far between. But that's really, really rad. Now, still, make your stuff. Like, do the damn thing. But, you know, maybe later on, you can offer a line that's more eco-friendly or whatnot. So, and then you just charge more. And that's just how it is.
Special
so,
edition.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So, offer both, you know. So,
okay, because
yeah.
there are more than one type of people out there.
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
Some people want that, and the others want one product or the other.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I could keep going with stuff that's harming humans big time, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I just recently, like, we were just talking to you about this in June, I came up with the understanding of spring water. I need to drink spring water, that I'm not a big fan of going and getting bottled purified water.
Yes, we got it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
speaking
go,
of spring water. So, what is your take or knowledge on that? And where did you get all of this knowledge background?
So I'll answer the latter question. So a lot of research studies, a lot of like PubMed studies, podcasts, following other people that are in like the similar space and just learning. Another thing is Google isn't going to really tell you what's going on. If you use DuckDuckGo, it's like Google, but there's not an AI behind it that's filtering out what society wants you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're to type in like, anything controversial, especially conspiracy stuff, Google's not going to lead you, but like DuckDuckGo will. So that's like a little hack. But honestly, just a lot of research, a lot of medical studies and podcasts,
mm-hmm.
other people, other scientists that are delving deep into this that no one's really listening to. So, yeah. I forgot your other question, the question before.
I'm trying to remember it right now, too. First is the science in the background. Where is the, yeah.
Hmm. Wait, what was it? Sorry?
So we said why the background, like where did your background come from? And I'm trying to remember the other one.
Yeah, I forget.
Too.
I
know.
Forget.
We'll come back
man.
To it.
Okay. Shoot.
So.
Oh, well. It'll come back.
So why help?
Oh, spring water.
It was spring water.
Yes. Okay. But spring water is great. Now, as long as the spring isn't near somewhere that's being sprayed with pesticides, and it's a natural spring. So I would, and a lot of spring water that they care and they know like what they have in it, they're going to show you like a lab report. Hey, we have, and there's also good minerals. There's bad and good minerals in water. And the good minerals being like calcium and magnesium and stuff like that. Like, we need that for our body. So there's a lot, like spring water is pretty much like the best you can get if you can't do a reverse osmosis filter. I talk about this all the time. So this is what's tough, is the 5-gallon jugs that you have, not a lot of people want to take that big jug and go to Whole Foods or Sprouts or a local water store and get it filled up and carry this heavy thing up their stairs and then put it somewhere. It's tough.
It's a pain in the ass, but I get it. Worth it.
It's super worth it. For me, you know, at least I think it's worth it. But, you know, I think it's worth it when I found out what was in our tap water. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's worth it. So a reverse osmosis water system is something that strips out all the minerals, the bad, but also the good too. So, which I'd rather have that than having like tap water or a Conga machine. And I just add a little bit of salt to my water to remineralize, to get some trace minerals back in there. Tap water, like we talked about earlier, is pretty much recycled sewage water. It's not coming from a beautiful spring or wherever. And they have to put chemicals in the water to make it safe. Safe is a very broad word, because I don't think it's safe. It has fluoride in it, something that calcifies our pineal gland, something that we connect to a higher source. Many things, honestly. And it's just, I mean, it's got heavy metals, uranium, arsenic, rocket fuel, birth control, pesticides. I could keep going.
Rocket fuel.
Yes. Yeah. Uranium, like literally like insane stuff. You can go to EWG.org, which is environmentalworkinggroup.org/tapwater, type in your zip code, and per zip code, it will give you all the contaminants that are in your water, how many of them exceed health guidelines. And yeah, so you get to see, like, here, it's like there's 30 total contaminants and 15 of them exceed health guidelines. And the health guidelines were updated years ago. So it's like there's a lot more unsafe stuff that still, like, the guidelines are saying that's okay. And it's wild. Moral of the story, don't drink tap water if you can. You know, like, I always bring this with me everywhere. I have a 2-gallon container in my truck that has good water in it. So whenever I finish this, if I'm at a restaurant, whatever, playing in the park, I refill it, like, on the spot. Like, I don't put myself in positions to where I have to make worse decisions, you know? So I think that's key, like, looking ahead and, yeah, trying to... Now, if I'm fucking dying, like, I'll drink some tap water, you know? It is what it is. So, but if I can be attention to detail, I'm going to be. Like, if I can make a better decision, I will. So, yeah. That's just me, though. Yes, a healthy decision, exactly. And I think these little things add up to so much big stuff, you know? It's like, sure, like, I go to In-N-Out once a week or this and that, but it's like the things we do most of the time is what matters, you know? It's like how we do anything is how we do everything. What we do most of the time matters, like going, getting ice cream or whatever. It's not a big deal. But if you do that 2 or 3 nights a week while you're unconsciously watching TV until you unconsciously fall asleep, you know, and it's like, okay, there's something to be looked at. But if I'm enjoying myself, because 80% of the time I'm eating damn good, I can enjoy myself. Like, when I go to a get-together, whatever, like, I don't care. I'll eat all the food. I don't care. It's because most of the time I'm putting in that work to make sure that I'm eating pretty dialed in.
I notice that where a lot of people have so many stomach problems, upset stomachs, IBS, everything. And not to, like, yeah, to do my own horn, I feel very resilient. I was like, I've got a strong stomach, but again, I feel like you and I probably have a good microbiome where we're able to take care of the nutrient density.
Yeah,
most from definitely. Day by day, yeah.
And I'm sure you know with bikini competitors, like, it's so restrictive that it's almost like a mental, like, it's really harsh.
Or it's even more about thoughts. I, for the longest time, my handle used to be Macro Mermaid. And it was like, macros, everything, get your protein. And I'm like, well, micronutrients matter. Minerals matter. All vitamins, you know, yeah.
Totally.
It became more than that to me. And it was a lot about, like, cheap processed food cutting to just get the calories in and the protein for the day.
I get it.
Whatever you can fit.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I used to be the same way for sure. And that used to be like a huge thing was the macros. I remember that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we could have a sweet potato right here. We could have, you know, like crackers. And like they both have 30 grams of carbs. But which one is your body going to assimilate better? Which one's going to have more bioavailable nutrients? You know, we both know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's
electrolytes, everything. Yeah.
95% of people, especially Americans, don't know. So there's a lot of work to be done. And it's up to us to educate, really, because this is how we raise the collective once again, you know? So
back to full circle, because I actually do like talking about this a lot.
Okay.
Both topics. Plant medicine is a great topic of discussion. And I even said, technically, I've been like really sober-ish.
Okay.
Sober-ish, you like how I say that?
I like that.
Like I had a half a glass of champagne last night, but it was like kind of a one in Rome, I'm love celebrating
it.
A work thing. But when I went out after, I was like, no, I'm good.
Love it.
But the opportunity to not smoke weed anymore came up, and I was like, okay, this isn't serving me. Love not smoking weed anymore. That's just me. I like knowing that I don't need something as a crutch or that will define my power again. The next thing, or even numbing, like you're just saying. Then on top of that, plant medicine, I feel like a lot of people use that as a form of numbing still too. Or to gain the temporary presence of, this is going to fix me and I'm healed. And it's still having to do the work. It can show you opportunities and it's very temporary, but you still need to put in the work.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I think plant medicine does serve a great purpose, especially for people who are out of the military. I noticed that for veterans, happy Veterans Day weekend, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
For veterans, I noticed that it gets you in your feels. And I asked you earlier, what does spirituality mean to you? We kind of danced around the question a little bit,
right?
But we didn't get into the depth of it.
Okay.
And I want to ask, what does it mean to you, and how have you gotten into your feels since?
Have I gotten into my feels?
Yeah, your feels. Yeah. Mr. Mushroom Man.
We can go with the plant-based thing too, for sure. Because, you know, everything with intention and all that, people abuse it big time if they're spiritual. How have I gotten my feels? Well, shit. I mean, with therapy, so within the first month of doing one-on-one therapy with my therapist, she also offers therapy retreats, like 4 of them a year.
Wow.
Different kinds, like, you know, realigning the chakras, inner child retreat, self-love retreat, and another one I forget. And like a month after I was doing one-on-one, she suggested, hey, you should go on this inner child retreat. And I was like, screw it. Like, I'm all in. Like, yes, sign me up. So, like, crying a bunch. Just, like, over stuff that I didn't even realize that I held attachment to. Like, I wanted to gain my dad's validation so bad because I only was validated through being good in church. Hated church. Being good in sports. I was okay at sports. It was never for just being. It was always attached to it was always attached to an outcome. It was never just like, Austin, you're good enough as you are. No, it's like, oh, you know, you hit a home run today in baseball. I'm proud of you, son, blah, blah, blah. And so like, this is just the external validation for me was crazy. But how have I gotten my feels? Goddamn. Letting myself feel it. Like, I've done a lot of crying and being vulnerable to strangers that I just met on the retreat, and you know, 4 days after, I was the most connected to them than most other human beings, which was really cool. And just being real with myself, I've used weed in the past to suppress feelings, without a doubt, like to numb out, and to have the discipline to not go to that, to actually like be able to feel, is really powerful. But it's taking a lot of time too. It wasn't something that I was able to like accomplish. Like, oh no, I'm not gonna use it today. Like, it took me a while, honestly. But I allow myself to feel all these things. Like, I know I'm a man, and I know, like, you know, like I said, the societal upbringing is like, you shouldn't have to like feel it. But in reality, I think feeling these things and expressing them is extremely important. So Yeah, I've felt them all now. Right now, you know, there's nothing for me to cry over right now in front of you, but, you know, if there was something that was, like, really touching, like, gosh. So, I was having a really deep conversation, I think a couple weeks ago, but about my dog that passed away in March. Mm-hmm. 3.5 years old. It was extremely fucking hard. Like, she wanted me everywhere, like, everywhere. And, like, I cried about that. Like, just, like, sometimes I'll, like, look at her picture and, like, tear up. It's, like, it sucks. It's fucking shitty. And, yeah, just to be able to, like, feel through those things versus, like, before I would just, like, swallow it down. And our body holds on to that shit. Like, it'll pop up somewhere else and, you know, manifest into me lashing out to somebody or me getting, like, acne or whatever. Like, our body... Have you heard of this? Our body takes score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a great book.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, so now just like, and also like holding boundaries with myself. Like if I didn't like the way somebody like treated me, I'm gonna immediately say, I'm not gonna allow it to like fester in my mind and like sit in my brain. Like I'm not gonna allow it to like pay rent up there. I'm gonna like get it out as soon as I can. So that's for me how I've like dealt my emotions over the past few years through the inner work. Like I said before, it was suppression. It was doing whatever I could. Casual sex. Casual sex was something that I used to suppress feelings, suppress intimacy, to push away commitment, all these things. Weed, hanging out with friends even, just be like, damn, like I just had something hard happen. Let me just go over to my friend's house because I know they'll keep me, my brain occupied. So I've used and abused before, for sure. Never alcohol, but other things like that. And now it's like, now I'm just so like clear-minded that there's nothing that I need to hold back on, you know? So, yeah, I appreciate that question.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll fucking take that. Thank you. I'm proud of myself, too. It's been a hell of a journey. It's been tough. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's so worth it, you know?
So what are your aspirations in life and with Organic Jaguar?
Yeah, okay. Oh, man.
Side note, everyone, he's pulling up his notes.
Yeah, so it was just like a quick, like, because, like, my why with Organic Jaguar and my why with myself was different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, so, like, my aspirations or, like, my goals or my why for myself, like I mentioned, is to like help other people get happy and healthy. But I think for me also, it's really specifically with men to be able to get them to focus on more like mental health and stuff like that.
Mm.
Because that's, I've been physically fit all my life. Like when I was in the Marine Corps, you're a fucking machine. Like you are just living, eating, training. Like that's it. Like you, your job is to be the fittest there is.
And the most miserable.
Right, literally. It's crazy. So there's no mental side to that. There's no mental anything. And spirituality, like, that's a tough round. I'm going to kind of, like, leave that to other people. But for me, like, mental health for other men is, like, a huge thing. So I'd like to be an advocate. I'd like to be an open book, a inspiration to show others that, you know, if... Having gotten over certain things, but I've worked through them and I have a lot better hold on them. Like, for instance, like fear of rejection and abandonment,
mm-hmm.
perfectionism, fixed ideas, body image issues, all these things I've worked through and I have a lot better grasp on. And when they come up, I understand like, okay, am I gonna see like where the heck this stems from, or am I gonna just like keep going type of deal? So. Yeah, that's my why, is I just want to help others. I want to have fun. Like, I love my life. I'm very lucky. Like, I haven't loved my life over past years. And now, like, I'm at a point where I love it. So I want to keep that up. I want the others around me to keep that up, too. Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes.
I love that. So I just want to elevate the loved ones around me big time. And just to... try and tap into like my highest potential. With Organic Jaguar, it's always to start with why,
mm-hmm.
and to hold people and planet above profit, always. And I just want, every time I go into a store, I just want to be like, damn, like I make, you know, all these products, or maybe one day that's to be on the shelf, you know? And it's like all these big mega conglomerates, corporations,
yes,
they're only here for money. They don't give a damn about our health at all, like at all. No matter how much it says organic on it or USDA choice or whatever, they can put all these labels on it. But at the end of the day, they have thousands of employees that they're trying to feed, and they don't care about you or me. It just is a fact of the matter. So for me, it's just to continue making, adding value to other people's lives and being the best that I can and making the best that I can. And that's like simple. I just want to keep one-upping myself, one-upping others, and for us to rise to the top, not go down and make cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. So I just want to keep elevating myself. And when my cup is full, then I pour over onto other people, whether that's with mental, physical products, whatever. So yeah, that's all. And I'm learning. It's all a learning process. You know, I don't know shit. I don't know shit. I'm learning. So yeah.
How human of you.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? What's your purpose? What's your why? Like, tell me, like, what is your aspirations in life?
Ooh, on the spot. I like this.
Oh yeah.
I think it's to build compassion. It's number one for me. I have my five core values that I'm like been stuck with, that I'm like, these are,
what is it? Hit me.
Community, compassion, consciousness, education, and environmentalism.
Okay. Wow. Beautiful. Love that. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sick.
So I know that we're not meant to be alone in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We are not meant to feel alone also. So that's where the compassion goes. I feel like the consciousness is our raised awareness of how we actually continue to inspire, uplift, make the world a better place. Education comes from that as well.
Mm.
And then environmentalism, obviously, like you just said, being in nature is, this is the very life. If the sun burns out, we've got a few weeks left to live on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, life is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Life is simply a gift.
Mm.
This is not something that we take or say. And I think that's something I learned in the inner work as well. So we get this mindness mentality. This is my life. These are my things. This is my cup.
Mm.
This is all mine.
Mm.
My relationship, my friend. How dare you hang out with my friend? How dare, those are my shoes. Like, right? So it's this mindness mentality. Every single bit of it is a gift.
Mm. Okay. I love that.
So we just continuing to raise up those core values, I think, is a really important one. But for me, aspirations are to continue to travel and see the world. There's so much of it that I have yet to see, and I know I sometimes keep going back to the same places, but there's so many new experiences I get when I go to those places.
Mm-hmm.
Still. And I just want to continue to play.
Yes.
Play along the way.
Yes. I love that. I was thinking more, I wasn't even thinking of that, but experiences, like, I want to experience more, like, I just want to travel and see all the nature and all the culture.
Yes.
And the dancing and the history and all this stuff. There's so much on this earth. It's crazy.
Yes.
I freaking love San Diego, but I want to see more too. Like, I think this is a great home base for me. Eventually, maybe, you know, Central America's. And especially if and when I do have kids, like, I want to do 70% of it before that. And sure, I want to take them with, but it's kind of tough to do that when they come along. But I want to experience so much more than just this. So
might be tough. It's possible.
It's definitely possible, for sure. My best friend George has a 1-year-old, and she's been to more countries than I have. She has like 12 stamps on her passport right now. So it's definitely possible. I'm stoked for that. But yeah, there's so much to experience, you know. And it, when I feel lighter, when we feel lighter with the inner work, it's like the lens just gets so much more brighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah. I love this conversation. I appreciate it.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, last, technically two, but really one big question.
Okay.
I love asking this one as well, and I usually ask it in different forms, but because it didn't come up, I'm going to go straight for it.
Oh, yeah. Hit it.
So, we all have waves in life.
Okay.
How do you experience the waves in life? The things, like, meaning the waves, the waves that you can surf, the waves that you let pass by, and the waves that you get pummeled by or let go.
Mm. How do I experience that?
Yes. How do you handle them? How do you control and let go of the things you can't control in life?
Oof. Okay. Mm. Do what I can with what I have. You know, it's like, all the trash out there and whatnot. Like, I can't go pick it all up, right? So I have to leave that. I have to be at peace with, okay, I can't control that. And the hardships that come at me, the big waves, the ones that I get pulled by, the ones I get held down under, and I don't know when I'm gonna come back up. I gotta learn from it. I gotta learn, like, the lesson from that. Like, what is it teaching me right there? Like, I've had, you know, reoccurring lessons in my life, and now I'm like, okay, well, you obviously didn't learn the lesson you wanted to learn, Austin. So, you know, figure it out. What can I learn from this? And just to enjoy it, you know, when I get up, because I surf, so it's so funny. Like, I can, like, you know, picture this when I get up on a wave, a big one, and I, like, ride it. I'm, like, super stoked in the moment. And then after, like, even after, like, I'm so excited. And then even when there's, like, a big waves coming in, like, big sets, I'm like, oh, God, like, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. And you just have to face it and go for it. And, like, it's going to hit me. It's going to happen. I can't run to the beach. It's too far. And I just got to take it and do my freaking best, you know, like, duck dive it, do my best while I can. And then I come out on the other side. And I come out on the other side with an experience of, oh, wow, I made it through that wave.
Yes.
Like, go me. Like, I made it through that wave. Now, the next set, I got it. Like, I, you know, I already experienced this. I got it. So, control what I can, enjoy it, and learn from it.
Mic drop.
Boom. Heck yeah. Wow.
Thank you, Austin, for being on this show.
My pleasure. For real. Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you. Thank you for having me. For real. This is rad. I love it. I love it. And I feel honored to be here, for sure. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.